Our scripture lesson for today is found in the book of Matthew. Please turn there in your Bibles with us. And there are pew Bibles if you don't have yours with you today. And there we will read from the seventh chapter of Matthew. The seventh chapter, beginning with verse 24. This section of scripture contains a famous parable known as the parable of the wise and foolish builders. Let's read Matthew 7, 24 to 27. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Ever been in a place in your life where you felt like the rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind beat against your house? That's not a happy place to be in, is it? Make no mistake, Christians will face hardships just like everyone else. There are Christians around the world who suffer from poverty, hunger, disease, and many suffer persecution. Many Christians don't have decent homes, safe drinking water, or medical care. I don't know how many people could find peace in such circumstances. Even for those of us who are blessed with food, clothing, shelter, and medical attention, we still face the stress of life. We live in a fast-paced, chaotic world where there is so much negativity. Where do we find peace in the middle of such struggles? Well, while God did not promise us a fairy tale life, He did promise us His peace in the face of our problems. In John 14, 27, Jesus promised, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." When the storms of life rage against us, we can stand on the rock of God's protection, just like in the parable of the builders. In that, we can find peace. But what does that look like in daily living? How do we actually live out the peace of God? That's what I'd like to talk with you about today in a message entitled Seven Secrets to Serenity. Serenity refers to the state of being calm, peaceful, and untroubled. Doesn't that sound kind of nice in these times? I hope that my seven secrets will help you experience God's peace. My first secret to serenity is this: it's not about you. Now let that sink in. It's not about you. That is the first sentence in the book, The Purpose-Driven Life, by the Reverend Rick Warren. If it's not about me, Reverend Rick, then why did Jesus come down to earth and die for my sins? Why did God send out His Holy Spirit to awaken me to my lost state and encourage me to come home to Him? Why did God come into my heart through the Holy Spirit? Why is He building a home in heaven for me? Why does He tell us that we're highly prized in His eyes? And yet, Reverend Rick Warren says, it's not about you. It's taken me quite some time to understand what the author meant. I think he was issuing a prophetic wake-up call to Americans. We live in a culture that takes to heart anthems such as Bon Jovi's It's My Life. They sing, "It's my life. I ain't gonna live forever, so I want to live until I die. I want to live while I'm alive." And they allude to Frank Sinatra's song that some of others may have heard, I did it my way. And then there's the famous beer commercial that says, "You only go around once in life, so you got to grab all the gusto you can." In short, our culture tells us that it is all about me, all about us. We are the center of our universe, our culture tells us, the God in our life. If that is what we believe, what a terrible burden we carry. Do we understand what a weight it is to carry around, to always have to worry about me? Always have to worry about how things are affecting me and my happiness. In Matthew 11, Jesus promises us, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Sounds like peace of mind to me. How about you? So yes, in a large sense, it's not about you. It's not about me. It's about God. God made this world, and He made us for Himself. When we turn from our self-absorption to our worship of God, there is a peace that comes. It comes because we are assuming our proper stance before the living God, the position for which we were created. It's a position that relieves us from worrying constantly about ourselves and our own happiness. Instead, we're concerned about God and what He wants us to do. We are free to let God take care of us, to give us His abundant life. So we were made to worship God. It's about Him. And that's why Paul tells us that we are called to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is our true and proper worship. In other words, true and proper worship is when we obey God's command to love our neighbors as ourselves. Instead of loving just ourselves, we are called to give our lives to God to be used by Him. So if we want peace of mind, we must quit worrying about ourselves and do something for somebody else. Remember, it's not about you. My second secret to serenity is surrender. We must surrender to this reality I just described. Now, we don't like that word surrender. We're taught that only losers quit. But if we want to have peace with God, we must surrender to Him. Coming home to God, getting right with God, it begins with an act of surrender, of accepting that it's not all about me, it's about God. But the process of change, that which we as Methodists call sanctification, is an ongoing call to surrender to God's will. The Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts in a still, small voice, telling us things that God wants us to do, to change, or to let go of. Often we wrestle with God because we don't want to change. We're like Jacob, who wrestled with God all night long because he did not want to change. But finally, in his exhaustion, as the sun came up, he surrendered. But the Bible says he won. He won by surrendering, which is counterintuitive. But the truth is, we will never have peace until we heed the voice of God. God won't bully us into doing His will. But because He loves us, He won't leave us alone until we do. As recorded in Luke 9, Jesus told us, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me." The second secret to serenity is surrender. The third secret is do your best and forget the rest. Do your best and forget the rest. See, we've been told that it's not all about me, that we must surrender to God's will, which is to love our neighbor. But a lot of people are paralyzed by the idea that they don't know how to love someone. They don't know how to offer something to the world or to their neighbor. What can I do? What can one person do? This can cause a lot of stress and loss of peace. People think, well, I can't go on a mission field. I'm too old, or I'm in too poor a health. I can't do this. I can't do that. But Jesus said, look around you. The fields are ripe for harvest. There's plenty that each of us can do. Let your neighborhood become your mission field. You can be an encourager. If you can't visit, call. If you can't call, write an email or a card. If you would rather cook, take someone a meal. If you can't cook or don't like to cook, buy some Publix chicken. It's always good. If you can't visit the homeless or feed them, if God's blessed you with some money, send a check. Find a mission. If you would rather hammer a nail, then hammer a nail instead of getting hammered. It's okay to chuckle. I started to leave that line out. I thought, I don't know about that one. Hammer a nail. We'll just stop it right there. There's a UMC website that says every child of God is filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, specially gifted to play a unique and valued role in the body of Christ. No one is without a gift or a purpose. Spiritual gifts are not our talents or skills. These are the grace of God at work within us. And here's a good quote I shared yesterday on our devotional moment on our mission Saturday. And I told everybody, some folks think Wesley said it, and some people said, no, he didn't. But I like the quote anyway. It says, "Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you ever can." Do what you can do, and do it the best way you know how, and forget the rest. In other words, leave the results up to God. So the third secret to serenity is do your best and forget the rest. There is a peace that comes from forgetting our worries and troubles by doing good for others. The fourth secret to serenity is this one. I like this. Snug is tight and tight is broke. Snug is tight and tight is broke. You're probably wondering, what? This summer, I noticed that a wheel had come off the Polaris, you know, the little vacuum cleaner in your pool. And so I found out what part I needed. I got that part, and I proceeded to put the wheel back on, which has got to fit in all the gears. It's not complicated, but it's, I don't know, got to hold your lip just right. But anyway, when I tightened that screw, I just had to tighten it that one last time to make sure it's tight. And, of course, I broke it. I tightened it too much. So I went to the pool store to get another one, and the fellow there at the pool store said, "Son, you need to remember, snug is tight, and tight is broke." Well, that spoke to me. I'm one of those people who are going to tighten things too tight. One time I was changing spark plugs in Sharon's car she used to have, and I literally stripped the spark plug down in the, I don't know a whole lot about cars, but down in the engine block, you know, there's threads, and I screwed it in too tight. You know, they make a tool for guys like me so you don't tighten it too tight. Well, I didn't have one, and so I was lucky that I could actually use liquid metal and fix those threads back so we could, you know, put it back in there. But I'm that kind of guy. The spiritual principle here, though, is that in our walk with God, it's possible to obsess, to try too hard to the point of weariness. As we said earlier, Jesus' burden is light. If we find ourselves always stressing over our walk with God, maybe we're just trying too hard instead of letting Him empower us. Instead of doing what we think we ought to do, we need to relax sometimes and just do what the Spirit's leading us to do. It works out a lot better that way. We don't have to do it all. Jesus is the Savior, not us. We just need to do our part as the Spirit leads. And that kind of goes with do your best and forget the rest, doesn't it? Another part of this secret is that we have to take care of ourselves. We can't get so busy doing good for others that we neglect our own families or ourselves. See, along with working hard, we need to play. To eat right, to sleep right, and rest. That's what the Sabbath is for. That's why God gave it to us. It's for us to rest. We also need to recharge our batteries through fellowship, church, Bible reading, and prayer. This is all a part of my fourth secret to serenity. Snug is tight, and tight is broke. But if you want to enjoy peace of mind, here's another secret to serenity. Cut everybody a little slack, including yourself. Cut everybody a little slack, including yourself. Don't be too hard on others, and don't be too hard on yourself. Most folks are doing about the best they can do. So cut them some slack. Remember to walk a mile in their shoes. Along with this is the practice of looking for good in other people. Look for good in others and in yourself. Help folks build on their strengths. There's a great book out there I recommend highly called Soar with Your Strengths. Soar with Your Strengths. The basic premise of this book is that we spend way too much time focusing on our weaknesses, trying to fix them, and not nearly enough time growing and using our strengths. When you see someone doing well in the service of the Lord, pay them a compliment. Folks tend to repeat behavior for which they receive positive feedback. Along with the same principle of cutting folks some slack, we need to learn to forgive others when they mess up, even if they hurt us. The Bible tells us that we need to let folks know if they hurt us and give them a chance to make it right. And we need to forgive them even if they don't. We need to forgive them their weaknesses. And in like manner, we need to forgive ourselves. Because God has. It's best not to judge others. But it may be more important that we don't judge ourselves. Because when we do, we either wind up like the Pharisee praying or the tax collector praying. One was beating himself up and one was lifting himself up. We'd probably get it wrong either way, too high or too low. The Bible also teaches that we should bear one another up in our weaknesses. We need to be there for each other, helping each other, not judging. Now, if you think it's hard to put up with someone's weakness, Maybe you should bear in mind that they may be thinking the same thing about you. Then there's gossip. It starts with judgment, and it spreads condemnation around town. That's not how you build up a church or a community. Remember, for our own peace of mind, cut everybody some slack, including yourself. Speaking of dealing with other people, if you want to enjoy God's peace, then make a habit of this sixth secret to serenity. Don't worry about things you can't control. Don't worry about things you can't control. What are some of the things we can't control? The weather, the traffic, the stock market, what other people think about us, what other people say about us, the way other people act, other people in general. Coach Saban over at Alabama calls that kind of stuff background noise. We just have to tune it out. That's hard because when we get worried or fearful, we sometimes try to protect ourselves by attempting to tightly control our circumstances, including other people. And that can lead to attempts to manipulate people. But manipulation and the attempt to control others does not contribute to anybody's peace. The exact opposite is true. Manipulation creates hurt feelings, resentment, and friction. Man, I praise God. It must be summer revival in here. Boy, folks are fanning themselves. I think it's getting a little stuffy. We'll crank it down just a little bit. There are some things we should control, like the thermostat. And things we can control and should control, including our behavior and our mouths as much as we can. But for much of life out there, there is very little we can control. About the only thing we can really control is our attitude. We need to keep on the sunny side. Stay positive. Good news is that God's in charge. And if we just give it all to Him, He has promised us His peace. Philippians 4, 6 through 7 makes an important promise. There, the Apostle Paul says, "Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Remember point six? Don't worry about the things you can't control. All right, well, we're finally ready now for number seven, the seventh secret to serenity. You guys know how hard it was for me to limit this just to seven. I mean, there's so many good sayings out there. I love it. Don't sweat the small stuff. The grass is always greener over the septic tank. I mean, there's just so many good ones, you know? This is my seventh secret one. Final one. As Don Henley sang, some of you know who Don Henley is, right? Don't look back. You can never look back. Right? Saw a deadhead stick. No, don't get me started. I'm talking about the tendency to regret things we did in the past, to go back in our minds and beat ourselves up. The truth is, we can't go back, so we shouldn't look back. We can't change the past. What's done is done. And in that regard, there are no mulligans, no do-overs in life. Woulda, coulda, shoulda are ghosts that will haunt you and paralyze you from doing good and having peace if you let them. We must cling to God's promise that God works through all things for good to them who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose, including our mistakes. God can find some good and make something good happen. The Apostle Paul said that we should forget what is past. We must press on. Now that's coming from a man who murdered innocent Christians, who presided over the brutal stoning death of Stephen, who ripped husbands from their wives and tore children from their mother's breasts to throw them into the dungeon. And that same Paul said in Philippians 3, "One thing I do, forgetting what is past, what is behind, and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." The seventh secret to serenity is don't look back. In reality, all we have is today, so we need to seize this day and make it a good day. So there you have it. Those are my seven secrets to serenity. My seven secrets for claiming the peace of God. Even when the winds and rains of life are buffeting our house, we can know peace in God. He will not let us be destroyed. Just remember this. It's not about you. Put that burden down. It's all about God. Surrender to God. Not my will, but thine. And living as a Christian, do your best and forget the rest. And when the way gets hard, remember to rest. Don't obsess, because snug is tight and tight is broke. That's easier to do when you cut folks some slack, including yourself. It helps to do that by remembering that we should not worry about things we cannot control. Finally, don't look back. God will make something good out of our past mistakes. May you find God's peace today and every day, come what may. Amen.